And that's in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 33. And it reads, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Last week, we started a series called Reforming Our Prayers, and since we are not reformed only, like we said, because of our reformed theology, but because we believe that we need to be in a continual state of improvement or correction, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what it means, to work it out, to deliberately do things that are correcting and improving our obedience to Christ. We, because of remaining sin, are constantly straying to the right or to the left, and the Holy Spirit, through the Scripture, is constantly redirecting us. And as we are being sanctified by His work in our hearts, we should be making progress in the things that God has commanded us to do. How we love the saints should be well improved than how we did 10 years ago. Neither should our gospel witness be at the same level as it was in years past. And the same is true with all of our Christian duties and character traits. However, today we are looking at our prayers and how our prayers ought to be improving. And certainly this is an area where we need much help. I don't know if you do, but I certainly need much help in this area. Praying could be considered the most important of all Christian duties, and yet it seems like the most neglected. And I do not say that because I feel that I am somehow better than you, but I say that because I can empathize with you, in that it seems to me that every Christian is in this great struggle to pray, and to pray more. Oh, the joy and the power that a praying man has. Charles Spurgeon said, "To pray is to mount on eagle's wings above the clouds and get into the clear heaven where God dwells." I feel it's almost like we are self-destructive. For we have all the blessing of heaven at our disposal, and yet we would rather wallow in the mud by not praying as we should. Do you sense that in your own heart? I hope you do. I sense it in mine. Why do I have all the blessings of God at my disposal, yet I continue in my little prayer? We make vows to pray more, and we break them. We find our prayers dry and cold, and our minds seem to be almost constantly distracted. which is really the essence of the problem, is that our minds are not geared towards prayer. You don't just sit down and start praying. If that's what you think you're going to do, then I'm here to tell you, you're sadly mistaken, because our minds have been much too trained to think in this distracted way with a thousand things running through our head at once. Why can we not pray as we should? It's a good question, and we must answer this question, or our prayers will remain feeble for the remainder of our lives. Last week I mentioned that there are two ways that our prayers can improve or reform. One is the quantity of our prayers, and the second is the quality of our prayers. I believe that we often focus on the first, or on how much we pray, when we should be more focused on the second, which is the quality of our prayers. Do you get that? We should be more focused on the quality of our prayers. Often our prayers do not increase in frequency because they are not increasing in their quality. Let me say that again. Often our prayers do not increase in frequency because they are not increasing in their quality. Many times we find ourselves praying the same way over and over again, and it seems to go in circles. So last week we started this series, and what we want to do is to look at prayers in the Bible and arrange our prayers according to the prayers of the Bible. I think that would be a good plan. And I see two main areas of our prayers that we must reform if we are going to be successful in our prayer lives. One is the focal point of our prayers, and two is the content of our prayers. Or maybe we can ask, why are we praying and what are we praying for? So we have the focal point of our prayers and the content of our prayers, which really breaks up into the three parts that we looked at last week that we're going to work through here in this passage in Acts chapter 4. May take us a few weeks. I'm not really in a big hurry, and these are just short lessons. But we broke this passage up into three parts. One, the root of prayer, which is the focal point of prayer. Two, the request of God's people, which is the content of prayer. And three, the response of God. So the root of prayer, as we went over last week, the root of a plant is the part of that plant that feeds the rest of the plant. And the root of prayer is in the worship of God. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray by starting our prayers by praying, how? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then the prayer ends in Matthew 6, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This prayer, obviously, I would think, holds more importance than the other prayers in the Bible, because the Lord Jesus is specifically teaching his disciples how to pray. The Lord Jesus, obviously, when he's teaching them to pray, isn't actually praying, because he's praying for the forgiveness of sins. And certainly, Christ needed no forgiveness of sins. And yet, this is a format for prayer that you would find in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, if you were to look in that passage. But what we see here is bookend on either side of the petitions in that prayer is worship, is the worship of God. I count 65 words in that prayer in Matthew 6, and 37 of them are dedicated to the worship of God. So the Lord Jesus is saying, this is how I want you to pray. And more than half of the prayer is worship, is the worship of God. It starts that way, it ends that way. So our prayers can be dry if the aim of our prayers is not the worship of God. Please hear me on this. Do not seek to increase the amount of your prayer unless you are seeking to do so by the increase of the worship of God. They are in direct proportion. Do not seek to increase the amount of your prayer unless you are seeking to do so by the increase of the worship of God. Dear Christian, is not the joy of our existence found in the worship of God? Like we said last week, if a man loves his sport, you will not be able to take him away from watching that sport. In the same way, if a man loves to pray, loves to be in fellowship with God, loves the worship of God, you will not be able to take him away from that. We will be so much more apt to pray and to pray longer when our hearts are attuned or adjusted to the worship of God. Prayer is not to be rushed into, but our minds need to be quieted and focused. Prayer cannot be rushed into, but our minds must be quieted and focused. One Puritan said it this way: our meditation on the Bible and our prayers ought to be so intermingled that we cannot find where one begins and the other ends. Do you see that? That meditation on Scripture, reading Scripture, our Scripture memory ought to be so intertwined with our praying that we cannot even really distinguish one from the other as we're praying. So as we get distracted in prayer, what ought we to do? Go back to Scripture. Go back to Scripture when your mind is distracted in prayer. And meditate on God. Meditate on the Word. As we meditate on Scripture, let us remember that the aim of the Bible writers, yea, the aim of the Holy Spirit, who is the one author of the Bible, is the extolling or the proclamation of the greatness of God. I feel that so often we are content with a superficial knowledge of God, when we ought to be before God begging for him to show himself. I believe this is the primary prayer of the Christian, the prayer of Moses in Exodus 33:18. This prayer ought to always be on the tip of our tongues when we're in prayer. O God, show me thy glory. O God, show me thy glory. This is the primary aim of our prayer. This is why we're praying. We're praying that we might see the glory of God. There is nothing else. Right? To know God is everything. So this has to be the aim of our prayer, is to see the glory of God, is to know him intimately, and to have a greater knowledge and therefore a greater experience with God. This is why we should be praying. And everything in our Christian life and our Christian duties comes back to the question of why. Why? Not what am I doing? Yes, what am I doing is the second question, but the bigger question is always why. Why am I praying? Why am I not praying? What is the focal point of your prayer? Is it to know God? And that must be the focal point of our prayer. So I have, in closing, in just a couple minutes in closing, I have three practical ways we can increase in our personal worship of God, and therefore in our increase in prayer. Number one, Start our day by reading the Bible and with Bible memorization. Job said, I esteem thy word more than my necessary food. Before we eat, before we do anything else, we must set our minds on God's word in reading and, I believe, in Bible memorization. I don't care if you're memorizing 3 words of the Bible a day, then memorize your 3 words of the Bible a day. But if we do not train our minds and discipline our minds in reading and in memorization, then this task of prayer, I can guarantee you, will be futile. 1, start our day by reading the Bible and with Bible memorization. 2, take the confession, like we did earlier here in our prayer meeting. Go to chapter 2, which is particularly helpful, of God and of the Holy Trinity, and just take one phrase a day, or for several days. That's what I do. Take one phrase for several days and meditate on it with an accompanied scripture text. So you look at the line and you look at the text connected to it, and do this for 5 to 10 minutes before you pray. And Psalm 1:2 says, blessed is the man that delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. You must discipline yourself in meditation if you are going to be strengthened and increased in prayer. 3, learn the hymns. Learn hymns. Learn psalms and sing them. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I can guarantee you that if you use these means, reading the Bible and memorizing it, meditation on God, and through using the confession is a very helpful tool, and 3, the singing of hymns, that your prayers will increase and in quality, and that they will therefore increase in quantity. They will therefore increase in the amount of time that you spend in prayer. Disciplining our minds through reading, through memorization, through meditation, and through singing, I guarantee you will increase your prayer. I've used these means myself, and they have greatly helped me. And you know what? When I've strayed from these means, you know what happens to my prayer life? It goes right down. But when I stick to these means, my prayer life has been greatly blessed. And there's no greater blessing than having a fulfilled prayer life. A holy man is a praying man. And a holy man is a happy man. Certainly, because he is in fellowship with God. We need to stop the self-abuse. It's really what it is. When we neglect this means of prayer, it's like self-abuse. We're going through life beating our heads against the wall. And uselessly, when we should be in prayer, we should be disciplining our minds to be in prayer and to have the great reward of prayer, to know God and to fellowship with God and to have power and victory and joy. You are being robbed. I am being robbed. We have to think of it this way because it's true. 1,000,000 times more than what we can even realize. We're being robbed of our joy. We're being robbed of our power over sin because we continue in prayerlessness. And we continue in prayerlessness because we continue not to discipline our minds. So we must discipline ourselves in our minds, particularly in the morning, if we are to be successful in prayer and to know God. This is life. And when we are knowing Him, We will desire him more and more. And then we will desire prayer more and more. And we will grow in faith in our ability to trust him, because we are becoming more intimate with God. This is the key to prayer, is in your mind. Make no doubt about it. If you discipline your mind through scripture, through meditation, through singing, you will have power in prayer, and you will have an increase in prayer. So let us be diligent to work these things out in our salvation, and not just passively stand by, as we have a tendency to do, and say, oh, well, you know, my prayer life stinks, but who really cares? No one else knows but me anyways, right? Well, let me tell you, God knows. And we are robbing ourselves, and we're robbing the people of God by not being holy men and women as we should be, because of our lack of prayer. So by God's grace, through the power of the Spirit, let's pray that he will give us the power to be disciplined, and in our minds, that we might be disciplined in our prayer, and that we might experience the great joy and pleasure of knowing Christ and knowing God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would empower us, O God. Please empower us to pray. Lord, we need to pray. God, help us to have discipline in our minds, to know you, to know your Son, and to make you known. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.